Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay and had a lovely weekend in the sunshine. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Monday, the 7th of April. Coming up today, we'll hear from wildlife bosses in Kent following the death of a goat that's thought to have been attacked at a nature reserve near Canterbury. And later on, we'll talk about what an extraordinary night it's been for Whitstable Town, who are off to Wembley for the final of the FA Vase. But first, taking a look at our top story today, a Kent dad who's been left unable to work after having surgery for cancer says he's struggling to get by without financial support. Craig Butler from Upchurch was previously a builder, but an operation to remove a tumour last year means he can't do anything physical. The 40-year-old has been chatting to reporter Charlotte Phillips. He's told her he applied for PIP and Universal Credit, but was rejected.
From diagnosis to like surgery and continued surgery and whatnot, I've tried all avenues to get anything from our beautiful government, and so far I've had the door slammed on me every single time. At the beginning, it wasn't too much of a stress because I worked as much as I could and saved as much as I could. But obviously, now we're like 5 months in and obviously money runs out quick. I applied for PIP and I said to him, I'm going in for surgery. Like, obviously, after surgery, I'm not going to be able to work. I'm still signed off work. And then got a reply saying that I'd been declined because... I didn't meet their number system or whatever it was. So we've reapplied for that. And they said that could take up to 16 weeks. I tried to do a universal credit calculator. But because Kate still part-time employed and she rents her property out, they declined that because she moved in with me. So they declined that. So we couldn't get universal credit because of that. They basically was like, we'll sell the house. Get any money out of the house you can, live off of that. And then when you're on your knees fully and have got nothing, then we'll help you, sort of thing. And I was like, I don't want to be in that position. I just want a little bit of help now. And then as soon as I'm back to work, it won't be an issue. So I'm a builder. And it ain't like I can sit down and go and do an office job. It's not even so much that. It's just... With the surgery and that, you can have good days, but you can have bad days. Like yesterday, I was laid in bed all day, cuddling a pillow. But you might have a day where you feel all right and you can go out and do this. Obviously, I can't do anything manual. But like I said, it's more the point to me is more that I feel like if you're a working class British male, you have to beg for support.
What's the impact this has kind of had on you? I know it's been obviously awful. But obviously you can't work, you said you can't kind of spend time with your children in the way that you want to. What impact has this had on you for the past however long, nearly a year?
I mean, it's more the physical side of it you can deal with. For me as a man, working man, I've been brought up to work hard, look after your family, like old school values sort of person. That's the hardest bit. Mm-hmm. And that's what upsets me the most, not being able to provide fully. And have that worry, like, of the kids, like, nursery fees, things like that. And like I said to Kay, well, we'll have to take Arthur out of nursery. And she said, well, let's, as much as we don't want to do it, because it's part of his development.
Yeah.
So we're trying to keep him in nursery and pay, like, the nursery fees and stuff like that, so that he's got that development of as a three-year-old. We've got a little girl's four and our little boy's three, so we're a young family, and we don't want him to miss out on that to be able to build up his social skills and his development rather than being stuck at home with us because we can't afford it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, of course.
So like our priorities is like the children, school, nursery, whatnot, and then paying the normal bills, gas, electric, and all that lot. So that's my main stressor, is purely like the financial side of it.
Government departments have been contacted for a comment, but so far they've not got back to us.
Kent Online News.
A drink driver who left a teenage girl seriously injured after a crash has been sent to prison. Luke Humphreys was double the legal limit when his car collided with another vehicle on the A256 in Deal in January last year. He left his 17-year-old passenger and walked off when police arrived. The 21-year-old from Church Street in Woodnesborough has been locked up for 2.5 years. Two people have been charged with attempted murder following a stabbing in Folkestone. A man in his 50s was seriously injured at a property in Furze Lane on Friday morning. He's still in hospital in a stable condition. A 45 and 73-year-old are due in court today. Two other men arrested have been released without charge. Now, as the Easter holidays get underway, there's another warning to keep dogs on a lead around livestock in Kent. It follows the death of a goat that's thought to have been attacked at a nature reserve near Canterbury. Kent Wildlife Trust manager Maddie discovered the animal with its ears torn off at Bigbury Camp in Chartham Hatch.
I've arrived to find one of the goats isolated, badly injured, very stressed, unable, unwilling to get up. Very much looks like a dog attack. We have signs on all the gates, pedestrian gates. It very much looks like this animal has tried to protect itself and unfortunately has been injured with its ears being damaged on both sides of its face. It looks like it might have happened a little while ago. The animals are checked every day and it was fine yesterday, so it's happened some point probably today or last night, but the animal was still very stressed and traumatised from the experience, and this is what happens when animals come on site and people don't appreciate that their dog being off lead can cause serious injury. It's very sad for us to lose an animal due to essentially negligence on the part of dog owners. Another opportunity to remind people that having your dog on a lead is really important. Whereas you might think animals will run away, that does cause exhaustion and stress as well, and they can die from that. But also some animals will try and defend themselves and then incur injuries because they're trying to protect themselves in their own space from your dog, who may, you may think it's playing, you might think it is fine and it's not causing animals any real distress, but this is one of those instances where really sad for us to come here and see one of the animals that we care for in this state.
The goat was given immediate care but sadly didn't make it. Dog owners are being urged to abide by signs and take extra care while out walking.
Kent Online News.
A Kent prison's been told to review its training after a young inmate took his own life. Simon Farity was remanded in custody to HMP Elmley on Sheppey in November 2023 and died 48 hours after being locked up. Our reports found there were missed opportunities to identify the risks as part of an assessment. Police have raised concerns about the level of street drinking in Dover. They say people are regularly consuming alcohol in Pencester Gardens, hurling bottles, thieving and dealing drugs. Issues in nearby Deal have also been reported. The council's reviewing a public spaces protection order covering the district, which is designed to tackle antisocial behaviour. More people have come forward to support Kent Online's campaign for a fairer blue badge system. Over the last few weeks, we've shared stories of residents in Kent and Medway who have been denied the parking privilege because they don't meet the requirements. We've now speaking to Adrian Pitts from Paddock Wood. He was on dialysis for 18 months while waiting for a kidney transplant when his application for a blue badge was refused. The 66-year-old who lives in Allington Road has been chatting to reporter Ellie Hodgson.
There's a very long waiting list. So when I started a couple of years ago having dialysis after a long-term kidney condition, then I was advised that you could apply for a blue badge. Particularly while you're on dialysis, because a lot of patients are them that have issues with mobility, etc., on dialysis. I didn't know whether I was going to have that or not. So because of the time delay in making those things, I said, right, I'll do it then. So I made the application, and you have to do quite a lot of questions which are your own personal opinion, if you like. They like it to be backed up with clinical letters and things like that. And my personal experience being on involved with dialysis for a couple of years is that where the clinicians are directly involved, So a little bit like some of the other allowances you can get, where you have your doctor or your consultant directly involved, then that seems to be more successful because they're able to answer specific medical questions. Because once you've put the information in, and so it's things like how far can you walk, all those sort of things. In my position, it was not known, and also I didn't know how it would change from month to month, etc. So that's why I was interested in this campaign about a temporary badge. Because obviously, if there are strict limits on it, you could have a situation where you are able to apply for it for a temporary measure. Mine was slightly different because I didn't know that at the time. So I made the application. I think it was up to 3 months it took to apply. And then it was declined because it was seen that because I was on the transplant list, therefore I was going to get a transplant and I wouldn't need the badge, so therefore they deemed it as temporary and therefore didn't award the badge. That's it in essence.
And what was your mobility like at the time of applying for the badge?
At the time of applying, I just started dialysis, but I was advised by the nurses that you were able to and you should do it because it takes so long to get through. So obviously I had the clinical letters for when I've been referred to dialysis. It's difficult to say because obviously you're on dialysis. After you've had dialysis, you feel better. So the day after you have dialysis, but then by the next dialysis, you'll begin to feel weak again. So I think there needs to be that clinical input, if you like, which it's not very easy to do that online. You've got to have all your facts mastered, so that you can do that.
Adrian has since had a successful kidney transplant and no longer requires a blue badge, but wants to highlight his story in the hopes of helping others.
Kent Online News.
It's been a very busy weekend for Kent Fire and Rescue Service over the last couple of days. Here are a few of the more significant call-outs. Firefighters have managed to put out a blaze in an agricultural building in Sevenoaks. Crews were called to Carter's Hill yesterday and were advising people in the area to keep doors and windows closed because of a large smoke plume. Six fire engines were needed to tackle the blaze. No one was hurt and it's unclear how it started. Investigators are looking into the cause of a fire that spread from a garden to a house in Gravesend. Crews were called to Strutton's Avenue yesterday evening and put out the blaze, which was affecting the kitchen area. We're told no one's been hurt. Now, a vehicle caught alight in a suspected arson attack in Snodland. Three fire engines were called to tackle the blaze on Paddlesworth Road on Friday night. No one was hurt, but it is being treated as suspicious. Cat Fire and Rescue have been called out to a blaze at a home in Ashford. It broke out in Rostrum Close just after 8 on Saturday night. Four engines were at the scene there. There have been no reports of injury and the cause is currently under investigation. Now, the MP for Folkestone and Hythe has accused the Environment Agency of blacklisting a Kent beach over poor water quality. A no-swim warning's been issued for Dymchurch, but Tony Vaughan says tests aren't being carried out regularly enough.
Government and the local authority has an obligation to inform people about water quality, and that's got to be right. The issue is that the Environment Agency only test the water for half of the year, and then in the half of the year in the bathing season when they do test it, it's at these weekly or more periodic points. Now, you know, that's fine, but actually we need to have more data from more places to show us whether the sea on a particular day is safe. And if we have the technology and it's quick enough to tell us that the sea is safe to swim in today, then we should be rolling that out. And that way we can address this problem where people can, you're sort of blacklisting a whole beach and a whole area. And there's businesses over there that rely on this. There are people that rely on swimming in the sea for their mental health. You know, we've got to take a more clever approach to this, I think.
He's worried about the impact on local businesses and residents. The Environment Agency say they are working with the council and Southern Water to try and deal with the pollution.
Kent Online News.
A Snodland woman who stripped off in front of police after being arrested for shoplifting has avoided being sent to prison. Courtney Evans was detained after stealing 27 pounds of household items from Poundland in Maidstone. The 27-year-old from Saltings Road was waiting to be sentenced for other offences at the time and has to do unpaid work. It's claimed rubbish left on the side of a busy road in Ashford is a public health risk. The A2070 links the M20 with Sevington and Kings North and not far from the international truck stop. National Highways have described littering as a social problem and say they're working hard to tackle it. Now, the man behind a one-stop shop for services in Ebbsfleet says he hopes it meets the needs of the community. Sam Bott has spent £300,000 converting empty units in Cherry Orchard in the new Ebbsfleet Garden City into a health centre, dentist, hairdresser and nail salon. He's been chatting to reporter Alex Langridge and says he surveyed the public about what they wanted.
The idea of the prep rooms came about when we saw there was a vacant unit the development of Castle Hill. To be honest, I was quite shocked that the unit hadn't been taken at the time, and I approached the landlord and said, you know, is there any possibility that we can like look at taking on the unit? And they said, yeah, definitely, but you know, what would you put in there? And I said, I think it'd be really good, as there's a new thriving community down here, to actually ask the community what they'd want in this space. So we had 2 months of surveys with the local community, and it came back that they wanted a dental service, GP service, beauty aesthetics, nails and hair. And my business plan went into the local website development corporation, and has put all those services under one roof and calling it the prep rooms. And here we are.
And how's it all been going so far? I know you've only been open a few days, but it seems we've had a good response.
Yeah, really good. Yeah, really good response from the community, and a little bit of the wider community as well. Actually, I think kind of word has travelled that hopefully that these kind of services are needed. We'd had our grand opening on Saturday, where the Mayor of Dartford came and did the ceremonial ribbon cutting, which was very exciting, and it was the first kind of opportunity for the community to come in and see the space and meet the staff here and kind of see what our kind of services are all about.
And you said obviously you kind of wanted to do it where you ask the community like what they want to actually be able to provide for them. I think you said, you know, it's quite important to have these services, they're in demand, there's not really anything nearby.
Yeah.
So kind of what are you kind of also actually trying to do for the community?
It's been really well received actually, because I think sometimes the people are moving to these new developments, they're building, you know, buying a lovely new build house and looking to register with their local GP or looking to register with their local dental facilities, or even just getting a set of nails done on their hair, and actually coming here and there's nothing on this development. So we've got 4,000 odd units here now, and there's no other kind of amenities around here. So we've been, you know, got Instagram messages and emails, and the response has been really positive that, you know, people don't actually have to get in their car and travel somewhere, so they can walk around the development and come and get these services, and it's that very much one-stop shop. So, you know, you can get your hair done, get your nails done, or see the GP and have a dental checkup. So been really well responded.
15,000 new homes are expected to be built as part of the new Garden City by 2035.
Kent Online News.
It's been confirmed a new leisure centre in Tunbridge will be created near the existing one. The Angel Centre is due to be knocked down once the replacement site is built on the Sovereign Way mid car park. It's expected to cost £23 million, with the new facility hopefully opening by 2028. A playgroup in Sheerness has announced it's closing after 10 years because of escalating costs. Staff at Wiggles were fighting to find a new home after they were told to leave their site in the Delancey Hall this summer. The nursery is rated outstanding and looks after more than 50 children, but bosses say they can no longer afford to relocate. And again, nightclubs set to reopen after being taken over by a new operator. Attic in Dartford closed in February last year when the firm running it called in administrators. It's going to be refurbished over the next few months.
Kent Online Sports.
Football now, and there's huge excitement for Whitstable Town as they're going to Wembley. Their second leg FA Vars semi-final match at Hartbury University ended in a goalless draw, meaning Whitstable won 2-0 on aggregate. They'll take on AFC Whiteleaf in the final on the 11th of May. Player manager Jamie Coyle told us how he was feeling after the match.
It's hard to put into words. I've been fortunate enough to be involved in some successful teams, whether it's an assistant manager, coach, player coach. But to see the team give what they've given today and throughout this competition, it's a real proud moment for me. Any kid that is born and loves football, you can't, the pinnacle is you want to play at your national stadium. Obviously I've represented my country in the seniors and won World Cups there, but to take a team that you've assembled with the management team and walk out there it's a dream come true. It really is, and it's not just me, it's not just about me, it's about everyone at this football club. They deserve it, and I'm looking forward to it. I don't think it's quite sunk in for this young group at the moment of what they've achieved, but you know, I've said the same thing today as I said in the quarterfinals. No one remembers the team that lost in the final, so we've got to make sure that we go and we give a real good account of ourselves, and we'll see what happens on the day.
Staying with football, and it was another point for Gillingham on Saturday after travelling to take on Salford City. It finished 2-2, continuing new manager Gareth Ainsworth's unbeaten run. Speaking after that match, he said there's plenty for the squad to be proud of.
Another point, another great second half display of resolute and defending resilience. Some cracking goals in the game, you know. It was one definitely for the neutral today. Some real good goals, some good play in the first half especially. It's a battle, you know, Phil, and the wind, you know, I don't want to keep blaming this, but we had Harrogate 2 weeks ago, last week, and Salford this week. You know, I'm a northerner, but coming up north, there's a lot of wind on these stadiums that aren't massive, and you feel it on the pitch, and it's it was a lack of quality at times, you know, from both teams. I think second half, we didn't create much, they didn't create much. There was balls coming into our box. Joe Bodie's had a real great effort, you know, just, and it was going to be that. It was going to be like a moment in the game. Neither team got it second half, and all the damage was done in the first half, 2-2. And I'm pleased to take a point away from home. I always say that. The fans were brilliant again, got right behind us. We didn't match the quality we had on Tuesday at home, and you know, probably a nicer pitch. No disrespect, you know, this is obviously cut up a little bit now, and we've got to make sure that you know, at home we're winning games, because that would have been a great start if we'd got what we deserved on Tuesday. But three draws, still decent. We're unbeaten, and I'm pleased that I've seen some real decent defensive, you know, resolution from the back three, the two wing backs, the two midfielders in front of them today. Really good. We knew it would be a tough game. They've got some real good individuals, Salford, and my boys stood well in second half. Yeah, no, some real good performances, like say resilience, defensive. You know, I asked for them at half time. I said, don't lose this half. You know, we want to win this half. Can we go and win this half? And at the worst, can we come away with a draw at half time? And that's what they've done. And to take a point home from Salford, who again is a team in and around the playoffs, probably just burst their bubble now, actually. You know, but they probably just can't make it now. I don't know. But we'll take that all day, because these have been in the playoffs at some stage this season. You know, so proves that we can match it. But I want more than matching it. I want to beat teams. I want to get out there and prove we can beat teams. And we'll get there. Some organisational stuff, some forward play. I've actually done 2 sessions in 9 days with this group. You know, it's not easy because of the game schedule. So no excuses. But once I get my way and my sessions in, week out with them, and we get a pre-season and all that sort of stuff, we'll be a different animal. But at the moment, it's pick up as many points as we can to the end of the season, and players, show me what you've got, because I'm here for the long journey, and I'm looking forward to it.
And here's goal scorer Romeo Hutton.
I think I've probably practiced that finish about 300 times in my career, and it's only paid off once, so today was the time that I paid off. Obviously all the lads were bantering me, saying, oh, you know, we've seen that so many times and it's never paid off, but today it has. So all the lads were happy for me as well.
The Gills next face Chesterfield away tomorrow night. In cricket now, Kent have won their opening county championship game against Nottinghamshire. They secured a 145-run victory away from home after being demoted to Division 2. And in ice hockey, the season is over for Kent's Invicta Dynamos. They lost their Southern League playoff semi-final to Slough Jets at the weekend. It was a 7-1 defeat at home on Saturday evening and 4-1 in the reverse fixture last night, meaning they lost 11-2 overall. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Blue Sky. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Kate Faulkner, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.